when you and I are looking at our circumstances, we start falling apart. When we look at the Lord, He always has a solution for us, and it's usually quite different than what we would perceive. So if you'll bow your head, we'll run to the Lord together. Father, we just want to thank you, first of all, for everything that you've done, the words of knowledge that you have given, the visions, the prophetic messages, etc. We're just very grateful for the body of Christ being formed as one unit for your glory. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
Okay. Last night, it was very, very clear. I had heard it a couple of times during December, that the word restoration wasn't finished. It's just not finished. So, last night I said, Lord, all right, what do you want for tomorrow? And I was thinking about this morning and what might be needed. And of course, focused on the year 2011. And I heard loud and clear Isaiah 49. So Isaiah 49 came last year as well. And I said, oh my. Now in my NIV Bible, Isaiah 49 was noted that I got it last year for 2010. But he said to me, I want you to read it in the Amplified. So my Amplified Bible was here. So that's the first. I read it last night in the NIV, but this morning I took the Amplified out. And I want to show you something that's not written in the NIV, which is verse 19. For your waste and desolate places and your land, once the scene of destruction, surely now is coming in coming years. In coming years, with an S. It's not in the Amplified. I mean, in the NIV. It's just not there. But the Amplified will be too narrow to accommodate the population, and those who once swallowed you up will be far away. That's an incredible statement. And the word years popped out like if it was, you know, mushroomed in size. And I said, okay, Lord. In other words, you're not done. And you're certainly not done in me interceding for those who have injured me, those who have punctured me, those who are irritations to me. Now, of course, you guys don't have any of those people, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But for me, there's still quite a few around. And when they're around, they're irritation, and I get caught up sometimes in the emotion. But God said He's not finished healing us. Now, to restore us is also His ultimate goal. Well, to restore us to what? So I'd like you to go back to verse 1. It says, listen to me, O isles, coastlands, and hearken, you people, from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He has named my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hid me and made me a polished arrow. In his quiver has he kept me close and concealed me. A polished arrow hidden in a quiver. And I've spoken to you about that before. But for some of you, you may not realize that God knows when to shoot that arrow. And where. He knows how to put you in the bow and literally send you on a journey that you may not want to go to at all. To places that you'd say, I ain't going there because they're not very nice.
something.
Huh?
Guilty.
But the bottom line is, you're not your own. You might have been your own for a season, but now you're not your own. You belong to Him. So He has an ability to press you to go forward and then to shoot you out there into a place where you might find, don't like it here. Uncomfortable. I've used this analogy as well. When it's a nice summer day and you lift up a flat rock and the sun shines underneath, what happens?
The bugs dry up.
They all not only dry up, they run and they scurry. Right? Mm-hmm. They run. I'm letting you know up front. When that silver arrow lands in its destination, it's pretty shiny. And it irritates those who live in darkness. Verse 3. And the Lord said to me, "You are my servant Israel, you who strive with God and with men and prevail, in whom I will be glorified." He didn't say, "I might be glorified." He says, "I will be glorified." Amen? Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in empty futility. Yet surely my right in the Lord, my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with God, with my God. And now says the Lord, who has formed me from the womb to be His servant." So why do you think you're in the earth? To be His servant. "To bring Jacob back to Him, and that Israel might be gathered to Him and not swept away, for I am honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." My God has become my strength. My God has become my strength. Now, you're not going to rely on your own. Because if you're like me, you rely on your own strength and you become a pretty big fool. Because your strength, sometimes it's only a foot long. And He's asking you to go on a journey of a mile or two. And you may not like it. Do I get any amens out there?
Amen.
All right. He says, verse 6, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations. I will give you for a light to the nations that my salvation may extend to the ends of the earth." So there's His purpose and there's your purpose. You're not your own. You're to bring light into the darkness. Yes, some of the bugs around you may definitely be a little bit irritated. Amen? And that's okay. Verse 7, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel." Redemption and recreation work together. "Israel's Holy One, to Him whom man rejects and despises, to Him whom the nations abhor, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see you and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves before, because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Who has chosen you? Who chose you to begin with? How did you come to the Lord? You came in the midst of harsh, difficult spaces. I don't know anybody who comes to the Lord on a happy space. Because they're so happy in themselves, they don't need God. When you have a big need, something you can't handle on your own, then all of a sudden, there's a little bit of a click that goes on somewhere inside your heart, and the purpose of your birth now becomes a little more visible. And that's when you're born again of the Spirit. That's when your spirit man comes alive in Christ. So, when you see who has chosen you, he will give you favorable time in verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable and favorable time I have heard and answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you, and I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people, to raise up and establish the land. That's another aspect of your purpose. For it is present state of ruin. And to apportion and cause them to inherit the desolate, saying to those who are bound, come forth. To those who are in spiritual darkness, show yourselves, come into the light. Isn't that cool? They shall feed in all the ways, and their pastures shall not be on all the bare hills. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither shall mirage, mislead, or scorching winds, or sun smite them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them, and by springs of water will he guide them. Notice it's he that does all the work. He does the guiding. He does the work of recreating you. Verse 11, and I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be raised up. Now, some people don't understand what his mountains are. Sometimes those are obstacles that you can't cross over by yourself. Human obstacles can be pretty nasty and pretty big. But he will find a way to get you across. He will give you a motivation and an inspiration of getting you to, from point A to point B, and from point B to C, etc. Verse 12, behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing for joy, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion upon his afflicted. So those who are his also receive affliction. And it's a real weird concept when you think about it, but remember what he allowed for his firstborn son. He allowed him to go on a cross. So you and I would be changed and transformed. I can tell you right now that some of you have been crucified by others. Not necessarily on a physical cross, but on a mental and spiritual cross. And those who have watched you survive and come back to life in the midst of darkness will someday say, what do they have that I need? How have they survived? And you will become the same kind of redeemer that Jesus was. You will recreate hope for them just by your presence. So think about that. When I'm in servitude to him, I become a living hope to those that are actually in dark places. And that can be an exciting challenge. Amen? Okay. Verse 14, but Zion, said the Lord, has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Verse 15, and the Lord answered, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. Yes, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. In other words, it's impossible for God to forget who you are. Verse 16 will take care of the tattoo parlors. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Behold, I have indelibly imprinted and tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands, says the Lord. Don't get legalistic about stuff. If God can tattoo you on his two hands, and your picture's right there, get over it, legalistic people, because God can handle it. It's too big for you, and it's too big for me, but it's not too big for him. I remember when the challenge came, when my grandson wanted a tattoo on his body, and I began to be religious. Anybody relate to me?
Yeah.
Okay? Don't do it. If God can tattoo his picture of you inside his hands, that's not big. For God to handle kids that think they've got all the answers? Didn't you at one time think you had all the answers?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I know that the religious realm and those who are listening to this message may get all upset, but get an NIV, it won't be there. But it says indelible. Indelible ink is something it won't rub off and it won't scrub off. And you can't have it erased. Now, you can go to the tattoo parlor and you can argue with me if you want, but you're going to have to argue with that piece of the information that God says he uses, this kind of analogy, to let you know that he's bigger than a tattoo. I know the old law said, but you're not living under that covenant anymore. You're living under the covenant of grace. And you're limited in your judgmental aptitudes. God will change a people's heart when he's ready. And I can remember I had a young man one time come to the Lord, and he had tattoos on all his body, and he's middle of summer, he's literally dying because now he's got to come to church covered in case somebody's going to chop him up like chopped liver. And I said to him, "What's wrong with you? How come you're so heavily dressed? Everybody else is wearing, you know, cool garments, and he's just covered from head to toe. Long sleeves, long pants." He says, "Well, can we go to your office?" I said, "Sure." So he walks into my office and he lifts up his pant leg and he's got tattoos. And I says, "And so, what's your problem?" He says, "I got crucified for these." I says, "You did? They kicked me out of church." I said, "Well, not in this church. Here you're going to be welcomed with joy. That you're not an exception to the rule, that, you know, God will love you just the way you are. So, get over all this stuff that causes division." Oh, I should have heard an amen there.
Amen.
Try it again. Get over all this stuff that causes division.
Amen.
Thank you. You see, when you become a lover of the broken will get healed. Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
When you really become a lover of those that are deceived, they will have a way out by looking at who you are and what you are. That light that's in you will restore them to the Father. And it'll recreate their hunger towards God. Religious attitude will destroy. It'll limit God. And I've got some of that religious stuff in me yet. And I keep asking God, "Would you just please turn the fire on? Burn it up. I don't want to be what my parents were. I don't want to be what my grandparents were. I want to be like him who says, 'Yes, you've made a mistake. Come on in. We'll help you get ready so that you can meet the King.'" That's what you need. That's what the world needs. Healing. Not another law. Did he come to abolish the law? No, he came to what?
To fulfill
the law. He's not against the law. He's against those that are lawyers. And I'm not against the profession. But I am against you and me and the parts of me that become so into the law that we damage. And we're not even conscious we're damaging. Verse 17. Your children and your builders. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Let's go back to 16 because there was one more part that I didn't. Behold, I have indelibly imprinted and tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands, O Zion. Your walls are continually before me. Your children and your builders make haste. Your destroyers and those who made you waste go forth from you. Lift up your eyes round about and see the returning of the exiles. Those are the injured ones that went to churches that got slaughtered. And they've been exiled. Your job is to get them healed. Your job is to so love their weakness that you'll intercede for them so that they can get free like you're free. That's your priesthood before God. When you decide to copy the one that went on that cross and laid himself open and he said, Father, forgive them, they haven't got a clue what they're doing. Your priesthood will dramatically change your neighborhood. Did you hear me? Your priesthood will dramatically change your neighborhood. Try it on. Close your eyes. Say, my priesthood will dramatically change
my neighborhood.
Because
I'll help to pray
until they get free.
Like God is doing in me.
My family's included.
My workplace is included.
Hallelujah. The earth will be changed.
When my earth
has been rebuilt
and restored
and reshaped
into the image
of Jesus himself.
Hallelujah.
I think you've got enough. You can read the rest. But look between the lines. Look what it says. You are to be a restorer. One that helps those that have been wounded. And I'll tell you, you can walk down any street. Anywhere, USA. And you'll find some wounded people.
Amen?
Amen.
Father, I ask that you would press in to these that are listening to this message. Give them the grace to become lovers instead of those that judge and condemn. And I remind them of God's word.
Jesus did not come to this earth to judge or condemn, but he came to save. Be a savior.
Amen?
Be blessed.